Good evening. It's nice. Nice to be here. My name is Miyoko. I'm one of the teachers here at the Village Zendo, and there's some people I haven't seen in a while, which is nice. And there's some new people, and then there's the regulars. But it's just, I was just coming in from a lot of traffic. It took a lot longer than I expected. From Jersey City, and just feels really good to sit down and settle and just find that quality of stillness within with all of you. Actually, I think we're kind of simultaneously creating and finding this stillness. And we find it when we actually just simply take the time to stop. Just stop. We can let go of all of our very and most important busyness, our important striving, our important figuring, our important planning and fixing and shopping and God knows what else that is always of just so much importance. All those emails we must check, it just goes on infinitely. And it seems to be so difficult for us to just stop that in a way we need to make this big production around it to give you the value and the importance that it deserves, because really there's no more valuable thing that we can do for ourselves than this. So when we just stop, if only for a moment, in that moment, in this moment, is all the space in the world. And it's always there, or I should actually say, it's always right here, available to us, if we actually just pay attention, stop, and rest. Rest in it. Rest right here, right now. Maybe it's the sounds of the street. The kind of damp heat of this room. The traffic. Slight ache in my knee. Just this little breeze on the back of my neck. A few months ago, strangely enough, after about, 15 or 20 years of teaching pottery and probably 30 years of making it, noticed something that I, for whatever reason, hadn't really noticed before. And it was just, for me, I found it to be this profound little nugget of observation, occurring in the process of throwing or making a pot on the wheel, which some of you may know. It's a wheel that turns so that you can make a pot as opposed to sitting and simply making it by hand. And I think I don't go there that often because I sort of have this fear of living out a kind of cliche of Zen and the art of pottery. So I sort of resist drawing, I think, too many parallels between the two seemingly different activities, although really they're not really two at all. But anyway, while I was teaching this one morning, it was a beginning class, and I was going over centering, which some of you may already know this, but it's kind of a process that if you're working on the wheel, you need to do before you generally, unless you're extremely skilled, to do before you make a pot. And essentially, it's the process of getting the clay so that it rotates or spins completely symmetrically around its center. Because while it's spinning and you make a space inside, which is what makes it a vessel, is there's an inside and outside, you can actually just then touch or access the pot in one place where you're working on it. And if the pot is centered, it will affect the pot evenly and harmoniously throughout as it's moving. And if it is not centered, what happens is that as it revolves, it sort of goes progressively into an ever expanding exponential of chaos, because you're sort of just randomly touching it everywhere, and then it's continuously bumping off more, and this sort of expands. So it's kind of an interesting thing that, in a way, often in the beginning, people have a hard time even noticing if their clay is centered or not. When it's centered, in a sense, it's like a top spinning. You don't even see it. The way we center is by really containing the clay with a very, very sort of deep, still external pressure, which brings it into alignment. Curiously, as I said, when it's centered, we can't see it move. And also, when it's still, we can't see whether it's centered or not. It's only in its activity, it's only in its movement that we can actually ascertain if it's aligned and centered or not, unless we're directly touching it and feeling it. One of the hard parts in the beginning about ascertaining it when we're feeling it is because then there's no resistance, and the tendency is to not notice anything. If we can't feel like there's something wrong or we're working against something, it's easy to just not see it. And when it's really off, it's also easy to just carry on as if it's not, to notice it, and then through the power of magical thinking, just imagine that it will just disappear on its own. But I find this thing really fascinating, that in order to see, the tendency is would be like, is this centered or not? And then inevitably to just stop the wheel, keep it from moving, sit there and always have to say, well, just keep the wheel always moving, and you come and go, but keep the wheel moving, because, again, it's only through activity and through its motion that we can tell. So that in and of itself is sort of fascinating to me. And then this quality of when we're looking at it, we in effect need to be still to see motion. There's a quality not unlike sitting down here where we have to just stop and be present to actually feel and to really see, is this in alignment or not? And, you know, it's not rocket science, but it's just actually stepping back and being present. So anyway, you know, this process of centering can actually take somewhere from hours to years, and it's generally somewhere in the middle. But this quality of really needing to feel what's happening internally, and from outside, if you're looking from outside, it's impossible to tell, again, unless it's an activity. And so, you know, it leads me to believe that it's so often only really through the activity of, in our lives, that we actually can sense where we are and what's happening. With no judgment of good or bad, right or wrong, but just in a sense, the externals and the internals are a constant reflection of things to look at to help bring us into this moment. But for some reason, in thinking about this this afternoon, I was reminded of a koan that I've always loved, and it was one of those koans that keeps my understanding of it keeps changing depending on what's happening or where I'm coming from at a particular time. So in this koan, this teacher, Dizong, asked Fayan, where are you going? And Fayan responded, around on pilgrimage. And Dizong said, what is the purpose of pilgrimage? Fayan said, I don't know. Dizong said, not knowing is nearest. You know, we spend so much time and energy in our lives on the way to somewhere else. We just kind of habitually think that wherever we are is not really actually where we need to be, but that really it's just a means or a stepping stone or a byway or an accident, or there's something wrong as we're actually moving towards our real goal, which is always somewhere else. And I think in these times in particular, although I don't think this is new really to this period of time, it seems to be somewhat innate in the human condition. But I think there's a quality there now that you know, like that ellipse or the piece of clay that's off center that is really expanding at an exponential rate. This need to go, 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 to get, to distract, to actually, in a sense, in one form or another, just be anywhere, then right in the center, right where we are right now. So in the koan, Dizong asks, where are you going? And he's asking Fayan, who's clearly a spiritual seeker of some sort, because he's coming to speak to him. And he answers that he's on pilgrimage. So, you know, he's acknowledging that he's journeying, he's searching. Traditionally, the word pilgrimage means to journey in foreign lands. But that's not, I don't think that necessarily needs to be the case. We can make pilgrimage in all sorts of ways. But in a sense, he is centering that energy of yearning, of dis-ease, unease, where he is. Perhaps it's an emptiness, a restlessness. But he's channeling that energy in a spiritual search, as opposed to what we can so often do in a more diluted way, but in a way is another side of a similar thing through all the things that we constantly are doing. Dizong asks him, what is the purpose of pilgrimage? So he's going sort of very deep, even under the activity of searching. Because on a certain level, perhaps, he may be suggesting that we don't need to be going anywhere to find what we're looking for. But on another hand, this quality of pilgrimage is also necessary. So Fayan, who has clearly been working with himself and is mature and seasoned in his seeking, responds to him, I don't know. You know, he could have said a lot of things, you know. I'm trying to find the truth. I'm trying to find God. I'm trying to find the meaning of life. I'm trying to find an answer. I'm trying to find myself. You know, but so often, really, do we really know? Sometimes we need to actually step away from really everything that we know or that we think we know to see what's right in front of us, what's inside us. In a sense, to take that step backwards, to look inwards. And sometimes we actually do need to go away to do that, to get a perspective that's new, that's fresh, that's alive and open and different, to break our habits of assuming that we actually really know what we're doing, know what our life is, know what everything's about. So to this very, I would say, incredibly penetrating answer of Fayyan's, Dizong then replies, "Not knowing is nearest." So in that space, when we actually can acknowledge our not knowing, and very often it can take something radical happening to us, or it can take us going somewhere very radical, or we can get very, very close to our deepest selves, to become really intimate with where we actually are and not with our ideas about who we are or where we're going or what we should be doing. It's in that space where everything can just break open and we can admit and be vulnerable, in that space of not knowing, that true intimacy with this moment and with ourselves and with the world can actually happen. So, as I said, pilgrimage can take many forms. And on a certain level or perspective is completely unnecessary when we can actually remember to have that completely open perspective right here, right now, all the time. Essentially, that's what our practice is. Like centering the clay. But on another level, it is very necessary to do that, because we don't remember so much of the time to do this. Which is why we come here, you know, that's it helps to teach us to do this throughout our lives. But I would like to also use this to really plug Sesshin, which is really, in our tradition, I would say, a kind of tremendously powerful and radical way of making a pilgrimage, if only for a week or a month or even a day. It's really this incredible container in which everything is designed so that we can really let go completely of our knowing mind. We don't have to know anything. We don't have to think about anything. In a sense, much of all of our discriminating choices are just taken away from us, which can allow us to really get close to our deepest selves. And in a sense, help push us there because, you know, I think we have a lot of fear about going there. We have a lot of ideas about who that is and often we don't really want to know and we want to avoid what we may need to go through to actually just simply be there. But Sesshin really helps us to get there, I would say, in a very, very profound way. You know, the way that you can feel after half an hour of sitting can do that. We get a taste, we get a moment of just, oh God, let me just drop all the the mishigas that continuously goes on in our minds. When we go away on Sesshin, you know, really that expands exponentially. So I would really encourage you, if you've never done it, to really consider doing it, because I can say that in terms of this practice, it's really, I mean, it's life-changing. And we only do it twice a year, and it's an incredible opportunity. So I would recommend making use of it, and I'm bringing it up now because now is the time to register for it. If you are slightly considering doing it, it tends to fill up, and the time is now. But in any event, in the verse of this koan, it says, "Now, having studied to the full, it's like before." Excuse me. "Having shed entirely the finest thread, she reaches not knowing. Let it be short, let it be long, stop cutting and patching. Going along with the high, along with the low, it levels itself. The abundance or scarcity of the house is used according to the occasion. Roaming serenely in the land, she goes where her feet take her." So, when we practice, we're simply just being intimate and aware with whatever's happening right now. Doesn't matter what it is and what it's not. And in this way, in a sense, we are simultaneously always at the beginning and the end of our pilgrimage, both returning and going. And in this space, there's nothing to know. When we're fully engaged in our lives, there's really no journey, there's no center. Only perhaps the foot on this pot could be a little shorter. Or maybe I need to cook the rice a little longer or have another cup of coffee. So I would just like to leave you with these words of Rilke. Reflect on the world that you carry within yourself and name this thinking what you wish. Your innermost happening is worth all your love.